This evening to John chapter 15. We'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you and praise you. Lord, we're thankful that as we just sang the song, dear Lord, and the relationship that song has to our soul. Lord, we were on a pathway of destruction. Lord, that doesn't mean that we were in deep sin. That doesn't mean we were involved in terrible things of habits, dear Lord, that we had to get broken, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Lord, we were in sin. That's all that mattered. And dear Heavenly Father, the penalty of sin is damnation. And dear Heavenly Father, one day you pass by each and every one of our lives. And dear Lord, we're thankful that we seen something, we heard something, we experienced something of the kingdom of heaven, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we desired to be a part of it, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, it wasn't something that we just wanted to get out of a pit of sin or a terrible condition. But dear Lord, we desired to be a part of this, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, as we sang the song, Lord, you yielded to each and every soul that called to you. And dear Lord, you took us on board. And dear Heavenly Father, you wrote a name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And dear Lord, you prepared a place for each and every one of your saints, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, one day we'll leave this old world. And by the grace of God and the help of the Lord, we want to receive that place that you have for us. And dear Lord, we're so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, and we appreciate this wonderful salvation. And we're thankful for your goodness to us. We ask you to bless us and help us to be encouraged, keep our eyes fixed on Christ, dear Heavenly Father, regardless of what's going on all around us. Dear Lord, we're thankful. Lord, in the last several weeks or month or so, we've understood there's been some fires up in the northern country, dear Heavenly Father, and as I think it was the other day or one day this past week, the smoke was just terrible, dear Heavenly Father, and it was very bad several days. But dear Heavenly Father, sin can do that and can fog us, dear Heavenly Father. But I thank God we can look above all those things and we can see our pathway clear. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that the devil and the world and all those things, as they try to throw a smokescreen at us, dear Lord. But dear Lord, if our desire is to walk with you, dear Lord, we can see a pathway clear, and we're thankful for that. So Lord, we ask you to be with us as we gather in again this evening, dear Lord. You see the thoughts that we have. We ask you to anoint the very thought, dear Heavenly Father. Anoint the blessings and the word in a special way. Anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to. And we'll certainly give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 15, a little bit of a, not continuation, but a little bit of crossing from this morning. In verse 11, I'm just going to read that verse here. And this Jesus, he's speaking here. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Read it again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, it's amazing that as Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his desire is that we have joy. He wants us to have joy. He says in the very first line there, these things have I spoken, that my joy, Christ's joy, the Lord's joy, might remain in you. You know, across the board, really, from owners of companies to presidents to kings to CEOs, they're not really concerned for the majority of them. They're not concerned about your well-being. They're not concerned about your joy, your happiness, your peace. They have you doing a job for them, for their joy, for their benefit, for their help. They just want you there in your place. But Christ's desire, as I mentioned a minute ago, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He has control over all things. He's the controller of life. He's the beginning of faith. He's the end of faith. He's all these things. And he says that my joy might remain in you. What does it mean to have joy? What does it mean to really, really have joy? You know, I imagine if we ask some people what makes them happy, what makes them joyful. And you know, we'll talk about it here in a little bit later here in the message as we get in here a little bit. And they may come up with a variety of different answers of what makes them joyful, what makes them happy. But in all those answers out there in the world, especially, and all those answers are just temporary. They fade away. They pass away. They're gone in no time. But Christ says that my joy might remain. So when we think about this evening of having Christ's joy, what is joy? Paul says, and I believe this sums it up in the thought of joy, real joy, true joy there. Paul says in Acts, he says, to have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. I think that's joy.
Yes, amen.
I think that's joy to know we have a conscience of a void of offense towards God. It really doesn't necessarily matter towards men. And so that way, I know what Paul's meaning, that we can have a conscience void of offense towards men, where men don't come to us and say, well, I know a lot of things about you, and you sin here and you sin there. And you know, a lot of people like to do that, but that's not what we're dealing with this evening at all. But Paul says to have a conscience void of offense towards God. I believe that's joy. I believe that's real joy, to have joy in our life, to know that we have peace between us and God, to know that there's nothing, no barrier, no wall, no separation between us and God, that he's pleased because we have chosen him to be our service, our master, our servant, by the grace of God. We're thankful for that. To have a void of offense towards God and towards men. You know, every one of us in here probably had a debt in our lives. Been in debt. We all no doubt own homes. We bought cars. Bills of all different kinds sometimes as you're growing up. And I can remember as a young person, and you get into some debt sometimes, and you get into some things, especially as a young person, and you're just basically trying to survive is basically what you're trying to do. And you get in a little bit of debt, and things might get a little better if you're a little more diligent with your finances and things. But you realize, and you buy a home, and I've made this comment not too long ago, and you buy a home, and whenever you bought your home, and you got a 30-year mortgage. And that just sort of, that doesn't even, you know, when you, that's many of us, when you think about that, you don't even consider it or whatever. You don't even think about how old I'll be when I pay it up. It's just there. You buy a car, and you have several years to pay on it and things. You're in debt. But every one of us, no doubt, have felt the blessing of being out of debt, of not having that burden, not having that something that's there always calling every month or every so many that they you have to take care of that or credit that debt. And the same thing with God. When we had a debt to him, we had a debt one day of sin, and thank God he forgave us of that debt. He freed us from that debt. He released us from that debt that we may have fellowship with him one day. A conscience void of offense towards God. I believe this is the real thought of true joy. To have a clear conscience. And the only way that we can have that clear conscience is to be accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We talked a little bit about that this morning. You know, we haven't heard messages. I remember years ago, you used to hear messages about house cleaning. And I know he's talking about a different thought here. But you know, when we get saved and God saves us, there's some house cleaning we do. There's some things that God shows us and helps us to recognize. You need to cease from doing these things or stop doing some of these things or take up doing some of those things. And we yield to those things, and we follow those things. And as we sing, think about the word, it says, as our light shines on our pathway, and we walk in that, what a blessing that is. And God encourages us to continue. There are things that make us happy. What is joy? Thankful I've been able to enjoy grandchildren. You know, I think about it. From time to time, I love my children. I love them. But they were different than the grandchildren. And even though they're just three, and even before that, three, and he'll be six in another month or so, a couple months, August. But even before that, I've been praying for them. You know why? Because they're living in a terrible world. And really, it's not because of this world we live in today. Every one of us that raised children, they still are living in a terrible world. And in the best of our ability to try to influence them in the right path, they sometimes go a different way. But I pray for them. They're joyful to us. There are other things in their lives that bring joy. There are many things that make people happy, that they use these things to make them happy. People love vacations. And as I said a little bit ago, there are some things that people look to or lean on for joy, but they're short-lived, or they come to pass before long. Vacations. Some people plan large vacations, great vacations. I have a friend of mine, her and her husband are talking about going to, where are they going to, Germany or Greece, one or the other. And she's looking at going there. And it's actually through a company trip, so to speak. So, but she's looking at going there. She's always wanted to go there and be able to do those things. And I don't know if they even have plans to go yet or when they're going to go. But it's something that they're looking forward to. But you know what? That day will come and that day will go and it will be behind them. I like to eat out every once in a while. I like to go out to a nice dinner. I enjoy family. People enjoy buying certain things, looking forward to buying a home or a new car or whatever, a piece of clothing. Some of these things are, I know, very minimal of things. People enjoy friends. But in all these things, even our grandchildren, vacation, eating, buying things, friends, all those things, they have burdens attached to them. As I said, I enjoy my grandchildren, I enjoy my children, my children are up and married and things and moving on with their own lives. And my grandchildren, as much as I enjoy them, I look out in the future. I know there's burdens that are going to come further. And I know as much as that joy is there, that there's going to be trials and heartaches and problems and everything. And whatever we do in life, whether we buy something, whether we go somewhere, whether it's friends, there's always burdens attached to that. So what is true joy? That true joy of having our conscience void, a debt paid, that Christ, we accepted that debt that he paid for us, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That real joy that cannot be hindered, even by the enemy of the soul, as the world thinks of joy. Jesus says here that your joy might be full. Have real joy tonight? Your joy might be full. Jesus says here, in verse 10 there, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you that ye might have joy. So if you want joy, and if you want to continue to have joy, keep his commandments. Sometimes people try to make salvation so difficult. So much trials involved. But just obeying God. Just obeying God, walking in the light that God shows us to us. Do you have joy this evening? Can you have joy? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Read verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The joy, the peace. You know, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, ye in this life ye shall have tribulations. My grandchildren, my children, things that we purchase, things that we buy, things that we enjoy to do, other things of the world, they will bring tribulations. And every single one of them, they will bring tribulations. But in Christ, verse 7 here in Philippians, and the peace of God that having a conscience void of offense, that peace, that things are well with my soul, that peace that if I were to close my eyes tonight and my body, my soul is removed from my body, that peace, that things are well with my soul, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And the Amplified version of that verse in Philippians 4 and 17, it says, and God's peace. That's really the only peace that there really is. And God's peace be yours. Jesus said in what we read back here in John, that my joy might remain in you. In Philippians here 4 and 7, he said, the peace of God passes shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And God's peace be your peace. That tranquil state of the soul's assurance of its salvation through Christ. Are you saved? I asked that question this morning. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have contentment? Knowing that things are well with you? I was thinking of this as I was going back over the message this evening. And I was thinking of this as I sang the song. And the man is adrift on the sea. And he's lost. He's lost. He don't know where to go. You know, and that's the comparison of sin. You're just adrift on the sea. You don't have any idea which way to go. You don't know to go that way. You're just going with the tide. The old ship of Zion comes by. And he says, I hear their sweet song. Sometimes I think we need to hang a mirror up and let you see sometimes your faces. Joy. Do we have joy? Can people out there in the world know that we have joy? I know our bodies. I know there's troubles. I know there's issues and battles and things of life. But thank God, as he says here, that our peace of God, it passes all understanding. We're going to get to it in a minute, another thought. But in the very center of the storm, I can have peace. I can have that joy still. I can have a positive outlook. And the peace, and God's peace, be your peace, that tranquil state of the soul's assurance. That tranquil state, the word tranquil means free from disturbance and being calm. Every one of us have been in a storm. I'm not talking about, it sounded like it just rained a little bit ago. I had to stop and think, what's that noise? I mean a storm, hurricane, tornado. I've never been in a tornado, thank the Lord, no, but I've known it. But I've been in storms, natural storms, winds and hail and damaging storms. That's out there in the world. That's out there in nature. But I've been in those same storms in the human, in the battles of life, and the heartache of our families, and the heartache of different living in life. I've been in those same storms, and as this says here, a tranquil state. The word tranquil to me, free from disturbance. That takes the power of God to do that. That doesn't mean I don't know what's going on. I don't care about what's going on. No, we do. We carry that burden. But I thank God we don't be disturbed. There's still calmness there. I've said it many a time through the troubles of life. It affects your physical ability, our physical bodies. I think I've told some, I don't know if I told you in the message or from preaching one time, but a couple years ago, Kim and Doug had sold their house and were wanting to move into another house, and they moved in with us, and the market was the way it was. They tried to buy a house and somebody outbid them. You know how that's been going on. And they lived with us for about a year. Now, they're the love of my heart and children and things and all, but I can feel the stress. I can feel the stress. And I don't know if I told some of you this. You know, the doctor called me. It was sort of during COVID there. And they called me and said, I know you haven't been here. We need you to take your blood pressure and send it in to us. Or let us know, whatever it is. I said, yeah, I'll take it. I didn't know anything of that. But I could feel the stress of just that going on. And I sat down and I remember taking my blood pressure. And it was 201 over 111. And I sat down. I mean, I'm like, just. And I remember saying to myself, just calm down. But it was all because of that. I didn't know it. I didn't feel it on my body that way. That once they were in the process of buying a house, they bought a house. I had gone to the doctor, all that stuff. And she said, let's let it go for a while. Once they bought a house, everything went right back to normal. Everything was fine. Stress affects this body. But I thank God, God can still help us during that time to have that tranquil state, to have that peace, that calmness in our lives through Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, there's many storms we go through. There's many troubles. There's many problems all around us that many times we cannot control. We can't control them. They're through whatever conditions of our world, our families, whatever. But these storms, problems, troubles, and everything that can, there's some things we cannot control. But I thank God we can have, as Philippians say here, that joy, that peace, that blessing that mankind doesn't understand. So I'll share a little bit with you. As I've shared with a couple of you from time to time, mentioning, you know, with my wife's father, it's a terrible thing right now. It's causing my wife great stress, anguish. It just boils inside of her all the time. All her siblings and everything are the same way. Just what all is going on, and it just dwells there. Night and day almost. She just can't come to a place to find peace. It just dwells there. And I thank God many of us can go. I've been through similar situations sometimes. But God can help us have peace. And sometimes we need to go to the Lord in prayer. So, Lord, I need help. And God can give us that peace. God can give us that calmness. God can give us that joy that we need. That can pass us all understanding. There's only one way that we can have joy, and that's peace in the soul. And as Jesus told Nicodemus one time, you must be born again. And in order to have that peace, we must be saved to be born again. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, if you will confess, there's a confession that we need to do. Maybe not all the time verbally, but in our mind, in a mental state, to say, to ask to repent from God. And he says, if you will confess and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. In verse 10 there, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. You know, and just sometimes confessing brings a blessing. Confession of sometimes saying that you've done something wrong, you've sinned, you whatever, you've done something, to let people know. And the Bible tells us sometimes there's a dangerous part to where men, they just keep sinning and going over top, and allows our hearts to have our hearts seared with a hot iron. And that's a dangerous thing. I've known men in my life to where some of it is a game, and some of it, I say some of it's a game because I knew the men, and the lie. They enjoy just telling lies, just to tell you something, just to see what kind of reaction you get or whatever. They just tell lies, and they can tell it without any change of motion in their physical body or whatever. But they lie. But people say they continue to sin and continue to sin. And it says they make the heart seared with a hot iron. Nothing affects them. The word of God doesn't affect them. They can sit under the sound of the gospel. They can do these things and it doesn't affect them. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no joy. But if they come to the place to confess with their mouth and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's it mean to have joy? Just to live right. Be saved. Ask Christ to save you. And just live him right. Go down the road. Police pulls up beside you. We were going somewhere the other day. I was going through the tunnel. And just before I got to the tunnel, there was a police car over here. Not the tunnel, I was going through the booth, the toll booth. There was a police car over here, and he didn't have his lights and siren on, but he was just going slow, and I didn't know what he was doing. So he had his lights on, and he and I both went to the booth at the same time. He was like two or three down from me, and then he immediately cut over. And I thought, well, he's pulling me over for something. And so I'm like, I had not a clue what it was. And he cut in front of me, and then he almost hit the car. We didn't know that there was an accident on the other side, and that's what he was trying to get to. But at first, I'm like, I didn't know. But, you know, we can thank God that we live a righteous life. We live a holy life. We do things that are proper. Some people have a police officer show up at their house, and they get concerned. They have someone, the tax people call them, and they get concerned. Bills come, and they get concerned. But thank God, just being saved and living right, doing what is right. Amen. That's all that matters. Having our conscience void of offense. Towards not only God, but also on the man. To just live right. I often wonder why it's so hard for some people to live right. See, I work in a condition. We've got men that they would just rather do wrong than anything else. I'm like, why do you continue to do the things that you do that create so much problems and heartaches? Just to do right. To have many people to live right. Men, the Bible lets us know that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be in the light. They don't want to do things the right. They don't, and they have that. Sometimes we can't understand it. How their conscience, or just, I believe their conscience sometimes are just eating them up. Their conscience just tear them up because they don't have a conscience void of offense towards God or towards man at all. There's always all kind of disturbance there. There's problems there. Anybody can pop up in life and say, I've known what you've done. I've seen you do some things. But to live right. We live righteous before God. That's how we get joy. To live righteous before God. To make sure we're right before God, to make sure we're clear before God, to make sure God is pleased with my daily living. We live right before God. And of course, doing that, that also makes us living right out there in the world, taking care of our businesses proper, our legal things proper, everything in life proper. It's when people start to hide things, cover things. Not only are they covering it in the world things, but they're also trying to cover it before God, and nothing's covered before God. To live righteous just before God can bring wonderful joy. That's why Jesus said to John here, that it might remain in you. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15. In Jeremiah chapter 15, a little bit of a part of what I mentioned carrying over from this morning somewhat. In Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, just read the first part of this for right now. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I thank God I enjoy the word of God. I thank God that I enjoy the directions that God has for me. I thank God that I enjoy the laws, the prophecies, the commandments, the love, the care. I thank God that I enjoy the word. Thy words were found. I found thy words and I did eat them. What are you feasting on this evening? What are you feasting on from day to day? Is it the living word or the world's philosophies?
See, I've been around a little bit long enough too. Where there's a lot of people, all they're interested in is the education of what men have to say. Some certain governments would say, or some doctors or lawyers. We just want to hear what they have to say. I have had someone, kind of indirectly but not directly, mention to me that one of the reasons that they don't come here is because I don't have a degree. They want to go somewhere where there is someone that has gone to school, received a degree, and has been ordained to preach the gospel. That's what they desire to have. That's what they want. Unfortunately, those ones that have told me that still don't do that. So that's just something. But are we feasting on the things of God? Thy words are found, and I did eat them. Are we feasting on the things of God, or are we feasting on the world's philosophy? What does the world have to say? What does social media have to say? I was talking to someone many years back, and I was going to add this thought too, talking about being in debt. It was one of my neighbors, and they're probably the same age as I am. And she had mentioned to me one time, she goes, and this has probably maybe been, I don't know, in the last 10 years. She says, we're so far in debt, we'll never get out. And I felt the pressure on her as she said that. And as I go by their house, they ever so often, they've got new cars, they've got new trucks, they've got campers, they've got. And she says, we're so far in debt, I'll never get out. And as they went on with those things, and she's mentioned some of those things, and I forgot where I was headed with that, with that particular thought. But anyway, all I know what it was with social media. So somebody said something as we were talking. Somebody said to me, or said to us, they said, I read this on Facebook or something, or seen it on Facebook. And I made a comment. I said, oh, yeah, that's good grounds there, ain't it? And they kind of laughed. You know, people will believe something that's on Facebook more than what the Word of God, I'll say. I was going to say the news, but you can't even believe what's on the news anymore. But the Word of God. They'll believe social media. They'll believe things compared to the things of God. Well, I want to trust in that. The rest of this verse, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Are you a child of the King? Are you a child of God? Can Jesus call you by name? I was thinking of the song. The song says, I'm on the winning side. Along the way of life are many foes that daily war against my soul. But constant victory my Savior gives to me as I press on to the goal. The battle may be long and hard to win, and Satan's host may press me sore. But though I may be tried, I'm on the winning side. I shall triumph evermore. A multitude of warriors of the cross in serried rank do bravely fight. They never shall retreat nor ever know defeat. They are winning for the right. With courage in my soul, I'll do my part. For Jesus, I will loyally stand. So on the winning side, triumphant I abide with a faithful and holy band. I'm on the winning side. Though hot may be the fray, my soul can boldly say, I'm on the winning side with Jesus. I remember in school, we picked sides. Remember, they picked two team captains. And they went up there and they started picking. I want this one on my team and that one on my team. And you know, whoever got the first pick, usually they kind of knew where it was going. There might be 15 children in the classroom. There might be 7 on each team. But after the first or second pick, you kind of knew who was going to win. Because they got the good ones. They got the good ones in the team or whatever it was, and you knew they were more aggression and had the ability to play. And we knew that. But thank God for Jesus Christ, I'm on the winning side. Long as I know that He said, and I just read that verse of Scripture in verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." I'm a child of the King, and I'm on the winning side by the grace of God. Do you have joy? Are you a child of the King? Can you go through life happy, joyful? Or do you go through life carrying all the burdens that the world has to hold? Let's go to one more verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. "Whom have ye not seen, ye love. And whom through now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory." Where's your joy? Where's the joy unspeakable? Where's the blessings in your life? "Whom having not seen ye love." That's an amazing verse there. That's an amazing thought. A peace that passes all understanding. How can you love someone? And Jesus even gives us that verse of Scripture. Don't tell me you love God and hate your neighbor. Because Jesus says, how can you love someone you've never seen and hate someone whom you have seen? And this verse here in verse 8 there, "whom having not seen," none of us have seen Jesus Christ. But I thank God I love Him. I thank God I love Him because He first loved me, because He loved me when I was a sin, because He cared for me, He had mercy on me, He had compassion on me, all those things. He yielded to me, Lord, to bring me on board. He loved me. "Whom having not seen, ye love, and seen Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Where's your joy at this evening? You have a conscience void of offense towards God? Are you saved? Are you sanctified? Are you doing your very best? Our greatest joy is knowing that one day we shall see Christ. And in order to see Him, we have to be saved. We have to have a desire. There's a verse in the Bible, I didn't write it down, but the verse in the Bible talks about in that day, that great and dreadful day, I believe it says, men will hide. When Jesus Christ comes back again, men will hide. They won't have a desire to see God because of the sin that's in their life, because their conscience is as full of sin and the things of life. They won't desire. They'll almost cry upon them. Then for the mountains to fall upon them. But our greatest joy, Lord, I want to see Christ one day. I want to see Him. I want to hear Him say my name. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." Philippians says, "A peace that passes all understanding." Do you have a joy tonight? Do you have a joy? Does it bless you and express that on your face? There again, children are a wonderful blessing. And many times when people are around children, it puts a smile on them, puts a different impression on their face. By the grace of God, we want to have a look on our face of happiness, of joy, that the world may say, "I don't know what they have, but by the grace of God, I want some of that." As the man said, "I heard the old ship of Zion as they passed by, the sweet song that they sang, I want to come on board." May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open a songbook at page 151. 151.
Song that it's in itself